What a wonderful opportunity to remember our dear departed brother in Christ, to Gertrude, to Taylor, Latricia, to family and friends gathered with us today. You have our deepest condolences in the midst of your loss, the loss of a husband, a father, a grandfather, uncle, brother, a friend, is one of the most profound hardships that we can experience, and great-grandfather. It is natural for us, in the light of loss and the reality of death, to look for encouragement and comfort from something more steady than this world can offer, something outside of ourselves. And there's no better place for us to look than God's Word. The Bible is not the mere thoughts of men, but the inspired words of our God and Creator. So this morning I would like to direct our attention to the words of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John in verses 66 through 69. Here Jesus is speaking to his disciples after he taught them hard things, so hard that many who had been following Jesus now turn away from him. And it calls on us all to consider this morning, where can we go in the midst of suffering? Where can we go in the midst of suffering? Hear God's word. John 6, starting in verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Where can we go in the midst of suffering? Where do we turn to find answers? There is no other place to go, says Peter, other than the only source of the words of eternal life, our Lord and Savior, the one who Franklin knows fully and perfectly today, Jesus Christ. As we meditate on these few verses, two questions right from our text. First, do you want to go away? Do you want to go away? It is natural, friends, when things get hard, to get going. Flight is an ingrained response, isn't it? Even if we don't leave physically, maybe we check out emotionally. We ignore or distract ourselves, anything to avoid the hard things of life. Let's be honest. The reality, the finality of death, the loss of someone so dear, is one of those things that just makes us want to go, to get away from it all. But it's not just escaping from hard things that Jesus is talking about. He is asking his disciples if they want to leave him. And so, as many else leave, Jesus asks his closest disciples if they too wanted to go away. The danger of difficulty is that it will drive the disciples away from their divine deliverer. Franklin's suffering and death has been hard. It might cause questions about our God's goodness and power. Friends, don't let difficulty drive you away from the only source of true help. Consider the options with Peter here. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So our second question to consider briefly, where else shall we go? Wherever else we may flee in times of trouble, there is only one Lord who has the words of eternal life. In the face of death, Christ is the one who speaks of life without end. He had said to his disciples just a few verses earlier, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." "These words I have spoken to you," he says, "are spirit and life." He will say to Martha in John 11, in the midst of her grief, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? These words that Jesus speak are eternal life, Simon Peter tells us. He offers to whoever would believe eternal life. As he says to Martha, "Though he die, yet shall he live." And let's get this straight. Eternal life is not just life without end, as great as that would be. It is life where death is no longer possible. It is life where the curse of sin, death, has been defeated. The Apostle Paul talks about it as what is mortal being swallowed by what is life. This, Jesus says, is eternal life, to know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. To have the gift of eternal life, what Franklin enjoys today means the opposite of deserting disciples. Not to go away from Jesus Christ, but to come to Him, even in the midst of suffering, in faith. To whom else shall we go? There is no one else who speaks the words of eternal life. And how is this possible? How can the teacher, Jesus, offer such a marvelous gift? Well, it's as Peter says here. It is because He is the Holy One of God. Of God. He is from God. He is, in fact, God Himself. And as God and man, He is able to deliver man from the plight and ruin of sin. Because He is the Holy One, He alone deserves not to die. Death is the consequence for sin. Because God is good, He is opposed to our evil. Because He is completely good, He is opposed to all of our evil. We deserve death and condemnation for our sins. But Jesus is the Holy One of God. He never sinned, and so does not need to die for His own sins. No, as our deliverer, He took on our sins and died on the cross, the death that we deserve, the punishment that our sins deserve. But 3 days later, God raised Him up from the dead in victory over death and seated Him at His right hand as Lord and Savior. If Franklin were here this morning, what would he have to say to us? First, that he loves you. And he would know it with a perfect mind and memory. A soul sin-free, with no decay. But second, he would tell us that it's all true. Who Jesus is, that belief in His words is eternal life, that the source of inexhaustible joy and delight in His presence now and forever. He would exhort each and every one of us to turn from our sins and believe in the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ. Belief is not simply walking an aisle. It's not a life insurance policy. It is a life-changing reliance on these words. The words of Jesus' life and death in every moment of every day. It is rock-solid confidence that by his death he defeated death for us. Gertrude gave me the privilege of reading through some of Franklin's notes from his daily study of God's Word, the words of eternal life. Friends, listen to Franklin's words written on Psalm 23 from the poet, the gentle warrior David. Franklin knew this about his shepherd here in his own words. After death, David would live with his wonderful shepherd forever. If he were here this morning, Franklin would tell us to believe this good news, that you might live with the wonderful shepherd forever. To live every moment of our lives with this truth as our North Star. And by that belief, we will all join Franklin in new life when Jesus returns to make all things new, to join with him in heaven as our home. That is our hope this morning. That at the resurrection of the just, Franklin will again have body forever. That we might be with him and our Savior forever. Friends, the only place for us to go is exactly where Franklin went every day in his life, to the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ. He alone has the words of eternal life. Do you believe that? Let's go to him now. Please join me in prayer. O Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, Savior, who reigns over death now, we praise you that you have the words of eternal life. That you say to us this morning that whoever believes in me, yet he die, he shall live. Lord, that is our hope. That Franklin now knows to die is gain. Lord, that he beholds his Savior's face perfected in his glory. And Lord, if he could speak to us today, he would call us to be with him by the same faith in the Holy One of God. Lord, we pray that that Spirit, the Spirit that endowed Franklin with that faith, would be with us now to comfort us with that same faith. To come to Christ this morning, even in the midst of suffering, to receive from him the words of eternal life. That belief in him brings life even in the midst of death. Lord, we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.